Hello and welcome to another episode of Into the 99, where we've got 99 cards because Commander's number one. I am one of your hosts, Daniel, and I'm joined today with Lotus. Lotus, how are you doing?
I'm very well. Super excited with today. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good as well. I'm excited to see this deck, so we'll just jump right into it. Lotus, as soon as this Commander was spoiled, was like, I have to build this. This is the one I'm taking, so I'll let you explain the commander and start right into the deck list. We'll get our hellos and thank you out of the way. Thank you, everyone, so much for tuning in again. You all know where you can find our content. It's at intothe99.com for anything that we do. Come chat with us on Discord. Let us know what you think about deck lists. And yeah, let's jump right into it. What commander are we doing today?
Well, ever since Commander was doing pre-cons, we had the curses, and we had the unluckiest planeswalker pictured on all of them.
Yeah,
like now we have
like Curse of Opulence, that kind of stuff?
Yes. Now we have Lind the Cheerful Tormentor, who's actually probably the one that's doing it to the unluckiest, because he's the doe in the artwork, as far as we're all made aware.
Yeah, I thought it was so cool seeing that.
Yeah, and I think it's a stuffy doe on the mantelpiece as well, but this commander, as soon as it was spoiled, I was like, yes, I need to build this. So it's Lind the Cheerful Tormentor, one blue, black, red. She is a human warlock with death touch and a 2/4, so she's pretty decent. But whenever a curse is put into your graveyard from the battlefield, return it to the battlefield attached to yourself at the beginning of the next end step. And then next ability, at the beginning of your upkeep, you may attach a curse attached to you to one of your opponents. If you do, draw 2 cards.
I honestly thought it was such a cool design space. The curses have always needed a commander, I've thought. And a lot of people were using like a Golos or Sisse kind of thing for a curse. But like having a dedicated one, I almost wish she was 5 colors. I think that would have made it more fun for sure. You're kind of a little limited, but these are the best colors for the curses anyways, so.
Yeah, there are some good white ones and 1 or 2 good green ones, but generally these colors are the best. And the fact that she doesn't target your opponents means you can attach curses without targeting. So hexproof means nothing to us.
That's pretty cool. I didn't actually know that. You may attach a curse attached to you to one of your opponents. So yeah, shroud means nothing.
Yeah, have a curse. And the card draw off it is just amazing. So it's kind of a risk-reward kind of commander as well, because the curses will come back to us. But some curses we might want on us.
Yeah, they're not all horrible on yourself, like from some of the ones that I was looking at earlier. And especially some of the new ones in the game, a lot of them do things for you as well.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see how you built it up. I'm just looking at the list right now live with Lotus, and I'm going card and section at a time, so.
Yeah, so should we go to the first section, which is called I Curse Ya?
No, save your curses for the very end.
Oh, save the curses for the end? Okay, so we'll do it in reverse order then. Let's go for the sorceries.
Okay.
So we're not going to be running many creatures. We're going to try and kill our opponents with the curses. So removal and board state is going to be a problem for us. So let's just have a lot of removal, which is something not a lot of commander decks run.
They really don't these days. Single target removal has become the law of the land, and there's no board wipes.
No. So we are going to be running a few.
It's great for token players like me. Can't kill them all. You can't Swords to Plowshare 100 of my insects.
No, but we can Blasphemous Act them.
Yeah, that's the first one on the list. Blasphemous Act, so, yeah, the 9 mana, which you pay 1/4 constantly. 1 damage less on cast for each creature on the battlefield, 13 damage to each creature. Ouch.
Yeah. We are running Snowlands in this deck, so the next card, Blood on the Snow, does work how we want it to as well. So 4 black-black for a snow sorcery. Destroy all creatures or destroy all planeswalkers. Then return a creature or planeswalker card with converted mana cost X or less from your graveyard to the battlefield, where X was the amount of snow mana spent to cast this spell. So we can wipe the board and bring back Lind.
That's an awesome board wipe.
And the next one is on flavor. I'll let you read this one.
That's what I was laughing about. Curse of the Cabal, 9 and 1 black, or you can suspend it for 4. Target player sacks half the permanents he or she controls, rounded down. Beginning of each player's upkeep, if Curse of Cabal is suspended, that player may sack a permanent. If he or she does, put 2 time counters on Curse of the Cabal. It is very on flavor, and I love it.
Yep, it's a constant threat that people have to assess every upkeep.
I like that a lot.
Then we have good old Damnation, just to clear the board.
Yep, destroy all creatures that can't be regenerated. No damn, though.
No, because it's white.
Oh, yeah, you don't have white in this deck. We just talked about that. I was like, yeah, damn would be the perfect spot for this, but it's white. Now I get it. We're in a board white section. I thought it was white.
We have Dead of Winter, because we are running Snowlands. We can actually potentially do a lot of damage with this, because all non-snow creatures get -X/-X until end of turn, where X is the number of snow permanents you control.
That's a solid board white.
Yeah.
Indestructible doesn't mean anything.
No, we can just take out... If we've got enough land in the late game, indestructible means nothing.
I always think that this next card's a really interesting inclusion, and I'm happy to see that it's picking up popularity. It's Disrupt Decorum. 2 and double red, you goad all creatures you don't control. Until your next turn, those creatures attack each combat if able, and attack a player other than you. I really just think it's a solid card, and I'm happy to see it popping up more. It's a very good way to get around big threats and stuff. If you have a Voltron deck at the table, or like you said, you only have your 1 or 2 creatures, like you're not a creature-heavy deck, you don't want a token army swinging at you, and this is a great way to ensure it doesn't.
Yeah, and if we do need to minimize the amount of creatures on the board, other players swinging into other players can reduce that for us.
I love the next one, too. I'll let you read that one.
So this one was just, it's a board wipe for 3 mana, basically. The last one standing, 1 black-red for a sorcery, choose a creature at random, and destroy the rest.
I love Last Man Standing. Last One Standing. I think it's a super fun card to cast.
Yeah, I mean, it's a card that I generally don't use a lot, but I just needed an extra board wipe, and Anger of the Gods I didn't feel was quite good enough, so Last One Standing took its place.
I just love that flavor text as well. Some train all their lives for a shot at the title. Some just get really, really lucky.
Yep. Good old Goblin. So that is our board control section for all the board wipes. If we move on to instants and get those out of the way.
Okay.
We have Aetherize, another way of controlling the board. 3 and a blue instant. Return all attacking creatures to their owner's hand. We're not running Cyclonic Rift.
Yes.
So yes. I thought you'd be happy with this. So I'm going to run Aetherize instead.
I like Aetherize. Hate Cyclonic Rift.
Yeah.
In a deck like this, I could maybe understand Cyclonic Rift because you're going to get hated on cursing people. Like, even just the Curse of the Cabal card is enough to make people be like, well, I got to kill Lotus, so.
Yeah. Hence the mass removal. And only a small amount of pinpoint removal, like the next one, Bedevil. Black-red, instant, destroy target artifact creature or planeswalker. It's very versatile, can get rid of multiple issues that we may be facing.
I like that one. It's Bedevil's it's also really good artwork. It is Seb McKinnon, of course.
Of course.
Yeah, looking at it, I was like, that looks like Seb McKinnon.
Yeah.
Seb McKinnon's artwork's amazing in Magic.
I do like his artwork. It is a fantastic artist.
Yeah, the next you have is Counterflux. It's 2 blue and a red, can't be countered by spells or abilities, which I love. And then counter target spell you don't control or overload it for 1 extra and counter all spells you don't control. I really like it as a control piece.
Yeah, I did have Counterspell. Then I was like, I'll upgrade it to the 2 mana you gain colorless. I've forgotten the name of it. And then I was like, actually, if we go to 3 mana, I can counter anything if people are storming off or whatever.
Well, yeah, being able to for sure counter a win con is always a good thing to hold up. It's not super mana intensive, so I like that. Mm. The next card is the bane of my existence. I'll let you read it.
Rakdos Charm, red and a black for an instant. Choose one. Exile all cards from target player's graveyard. Always important. Destroy target artifact. Can be helpful. And each creature deals one damage to its controller. Good against Dan.
I saw it used very interestingly recently. Someone Triumph of the Hordes, and then they got a Rakdos Charm in response.
Oh.
Each creature deals one damage to its controller. So they all...
had the infect.
Yeah. So they died to their own infect on casting.
That's beautiful.
I thought it was very clever.
That is beautiful.
It wasn't me, so I was happy with it. I was laughing.
And the last one is just Determinate. Black and a red, destroy target creature. It can't be regenerated.
Love what they did with the Sun Titan there.
Yeah. A Sun Never Sets is the flavor text of Sun Titan, yeah, and all suns must set.
A blazing sun that never sets, and then all suns must set.
Woo. Yeah. Great little flavor between the two.
Honestly, it's such well drawn art too. Sorry, I love that little inclusion there.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
All right, you let us know what our next segment is.
So you don't want to do the create the curses. So let's go on to artifacts. There's a few in here that could be quite beneficial to us.
All right. So
you want to take the first one?
Yeah. Starting off, you have Claws of Gix. One, sack a permanent, gain a life. It seems like at first you're like, why would you use this? But if you're putting the curses back on you and you need them off of you, it's a good way to get them off. Yeah.
Yeah. If there was a curse that was going to be really detrimental to me, I can sacrifice it before the upkeep.
What?
Yes, it'll come back to me a later date.
But that's a problem for later. Yeah. The zero mana cost on it is a great include in this.
We'll be right back.
Ever thought modern video games should be more interesting? At The Gaming Blender, we take randomized genres, mechanics, and make a new game every episode.
I've added permadeath.
We have a survival game of a hardcore simulation, which could be House Flipper, and with the permadeath of XCOM. Then that all has to be an action adventure.
Yes.
Ooh, dear.
Yes.
And sometimes it doesn't quite work.
And you have a construction off over the course of the narrative.
A construction off? The way we can do this is that we ditch your idea entirely.
Entirely.
Check out The Gaming Blender on all your favorite podcast platforms now.
Then we have Crystal Chimes, 3 mana, tap for 3, sacrifice it. Return all enchantment cards from your graveyard to your hand.
It's a good
easy
one.
Way to recur our enchantments.
Yeah, you need to get those curses back if people do actually get... You're going to have to exile in this deck, and there's not much, like... People don't really run Return to Dust, you know?
Yeah. The problem is, as well, is we're not in green or white, so bringing back enchantments is not as easy in Grixis as you might think. So Crystal Chimes is a very good way of doing that.
I like that. I hate the next card so much.
Well, we're not running many creatures, so Cursed Totem. Activated abilities of creatures can't be activated. Ours are all triggered. I don't care.
Yeah, it's true. It's hurtful, but it's true. Oh, you have your next one there on the list. You have Lithiform Engine, and that's just such a good card. It's consistently not in stock everywhere.
Yeah. But
I think it's just such a... silly card. They had to change how the rules work for the card to actually work. It's a 4-mana legendary artifact. 2 and a tap, copy target activated or triggered ability you control. You may choose new targets. Amazing in your deck. 3, copy target instant or sorcery spell you control. You may choose new targets. Not as important in this deck, but still a good thing overall. It's ones you control. But number 4, copy target permanent spell you control. So the ability to copy your triggers and your permanents, that's amazing. Being able to get new, like, double curses in and curse 2 people at once with the same kind of thing for an extra 4 mana is an awesome inclusion.
Yeah. I wanted to try and make as many people as cursed as possible.
Yeah, I like
that. The next one is an old card that I never see played. Skull of Orm. It's a 3-mana artifact, and it has 5 and tap. bring one of your enchantment cards from your graveyard to your hand. Basically, return an enchantment from the grave to the hand. It doesn't sacrifice, so you can just keep doing it if you've got the mana.
Yeah, it's an okay. It's an okay emergency card for you, for sure.
Yeah, it's not the best, but it can do some things.
I like that.
And then we've just got two talismans, Talisman of Dominance and Talisman of Indulgence, just to help with a bit of ramp, but fixing at the same time.
No Soaring.
No, because with three colors, I think it'll be more of a hindrance.
That's fair. I do really like the talismans. I think they're just good ramp.
Yeah, the fact that you can tap for colorless without taking damage is also good.
Yeah, I think they're not bad. Let's jump into your creatures.
Yeah, and then we'll do the meat and potatoes.
Yeah, then we'll get into the fun parts of your deck. So your first one on the list is Accursed Witch, 3 and a black for a human shaman, 4/2. Spells your opponents cast that targeted or one cost one less to cast. When it dies, return to the battlefield transformed under your control, attached to target opponent. And Accursed Witch's flip is Infectious Curse. I've never actually seen this one. Enchant player, spells you cast that target enchanted player cost one less. That's great. But given enchanted player's upkeep, that player loses a life and you gain a life. That's pretty fun.
Yeah, and our enchantments and curses will be cheaper against that opponent.
Yeah, this is a really easy way to do a beatdown. Would this come back attached to you, or would it go to grave first?
It would go to grave.
Okay, and then it wouldn't be a curse.
It wouldn't be a curse. It would technically trigger off the commander, but you couldn't attach it to yourself because it would be a human again, so it would stay in the grave.
Still a fun one. Then you have Bitterheart Witch, 4 and a black for a 1/2. Don't like those stats. Human Shaman Death Touch. When it dies, you may search your library for a curse, put on the battlefield attached to target player, then shuffle your library. I like it a bit more now.
Yeah, you don't have to have big power and toughness for that one.
What a good blocker as well. Swinging into it basically ensures that you're going to get cursed. You'll lose your creature, you'll get cursed. That's a good one.
The next one, Clever Impersonator. 2 blue-blue for a 0/0 shapeshifter. You may have it enter the battlefield as a copy of any non-land permanent on the battlefield.
Solid.
Now, thing is, if you do an enchantment that is a curse, and this dies, Lind will see it die. It will come back into the battlefield. As long as you choose an aura that is a curse, it will attach back to you.
Oh, because you can make it. You can make it have a legal target when it re-enters. That's cool.
Yeah. So you have clone effects that can actually work that way.
I like that.
Because it will see what it's... It looks back in time at what it was when it died, hence how you can do that.
That's a neat interaction.
And because we're using a lot of enchantments, Constellation is going to be a little key here as well. So we have Doomwake Giant, 4 and a black for a 4/6 giant. Whenever it or another enchantment enters the battlefield under your control, creatures your opponent's control get -1/-1 to end a turn.
That's pretty solid, especially with Lin bringing them back.
Yeah, if we can bring back 3 or 4, that can wipe a board already.
Then you have Grim Guardian, another one on the Constellation. 2 and a black for a 1/4 zombie. Whenever it or another enchantment enters under your control, each opponent loses a life.
Yeah.
I like that one.
The next one, Karazikar the Eye Tyrant, 3 black-red for a 5/5 beholder. It was interesting. When you attack a player, tap target creature that player's control and goad it. Whenever an opponent attacks another one of your opponents, you and the attacking player each draw a card and lose a life. The essence of the old curses your opponent attacks, so it had that kind of feel to it.
I think it's good when your opponent attacks another one of your opponents. You and the attacking player each draw a card, lose a life. So you're still making people want to swing not at you, which is important.
Yeah, that was the main key feature there.
Then you have Kazul, Tyrant of the Cliffs, speak of not wanting to swing at you. 3 green-green for a 5/4 Ogre Warrior. Whenever a creature an opponent controls attacks, if you're the defending player, create a 3/3 red Ogre creature unless that creature's controller pays 3.
Yeah, it's 3 red-red, not 3 green-green. Oh, but yes.
3 red-red. The other green.
The other green. Yeah. But yeah, if people are swinging at us, we can throw a load of blockers down to just try and soften the blow.
I like that. You have Kolarath Knight as well. I'll let you take that one. What What a strange card.
Yeah, 3 hybrid black-red. It's an elemental knight 3/3 with flying and wither. So it deals damage in the form of -1/-1 counters. Mm-hmm. However, the bit that the reason this is in the deck is for its other ability. Creatures your opponents control with counters on them can't attack or block. So that could be hexproof counters, bribery counters, +1 counters. Any kind of counter, they can't attack us. What? So if we're playing against a deck that wants to play with +1 counters, can't attack us.
I like that a lot, and that's a really popular theme right now.
Yeah, so just chuck one of them in. Any counter, can't attack or block.
That's a cool card. I haven't seen that card in ages.
And it was a good reprint from the list as well.
Then you have Mogus, because of course you do. A Mogus, God of Slaughter, 2/1 black, 1 red for a legendary creature, God, 7/5 indestructible. As long as your devotion to black and red is less than 7, Mogus isn't a creature. The beginning of each opponent's upkeep deals 2 damage to them unless they sacrifice a creature. So it's kind of like cursing the table.
Cursing the table and trying to keep those creatures down to a minimum.
Yep. I like that one. You have Nightscape Familiar as well, another zombie, 1 and black for a 1/1. Blue spells and red spells you play cost 1 less, and you can regenerate it. That's a great card.
Yeah, just makes our spells cheaper. Some enchantments have a pretty price on them, so...
Well, and a pretty solid blocker as well, with the ability to regen for 2.
Yeah. Yeah, very good there. We have Protean Thaumaturge, 1 and a blue for a 1/1 human wizard with Constellation. Whenever an enchantment enters a battlefield under your control, you may have this become a copy of another target creature, except it has this ability.
I like that. That's pretty cool.
So we can have the biggest thing on our opponent's board if we want it.
Oh, I like this list, Lotus.
Yeah?
Yeah, the next one, Sower of Discord. I absolutely love this card right now. 4 black-black for a 6/6 flying demon. As it enters, choose 2 players. Whenever damage is dealt to one of the chosen players, the other player also loses that much life.
Yeah, we can curse one to high heaven and then put Sower out and then choose the other person.
I love Sower of Discord. Sphinx the Second Sun as well. A great include in this deck. The 6 blue-blue for the 6/6 Sphinx. Beginning of your post-combat main phase, you get an additional beginning phase after this phase. So you get a draw, untap, and an upkeep.
Which is more important because we can then give more curses away.
You can send another curse away. You have your mana available for some answers, or if you attacked with some of your creatures, you're going to back. But you also get that draw, right? Because a deck like this is going to want to draw a lot of cards.
Yeah, I mean, Lind does have draw 2 when you give a curse away, but we need to draw into the curses to get them.
Yep.
And the last one is just a curse on its own. Hazantia Sleeper Agent, 1 black-red for a 5/5 minion. As Hazantia Sleeper Agent enters the battlefield, an opponent of your choice gains control of it. Hazantia attacks each combat if able and can't attack its owner or a planeswalker its owner's control. And 3 colorless, Hazantia's controller loses 2 life and you draw a card. Any player may activate this ability. This is the only activated ability in our deck for a creature.
What a hilarious card, though. I love doing it to people.
Yeah. It is kind of a curse on a creature.
Yeah, everyone gets it back-to-back of just, hey, I'm sorry about this, but I want that card draw. I want that juicy, juicy card draw. Me and my playgroup would just dump mana into it, even if it was controller loses 2 life. The card draw, mana sink, I'm just like, well, I don't know what you want me to tell you, sorry.
Yeah, it's a great card, and the person that's going to be attached to will hate us for it.
Yeah, we'll move to your enchantment section here, because it's a pretty simple one.
Yeah, so we have basically copy enchantment, 2 and a blue. As it comes in, choose an enchantment and make a copy of it. More curses.
Yep. You have Estrid's Invocation, which is copy enchantment, but for your enchantments, and you can change it every upkeep, which is awesome. Oh, so it exiles it, return it under the battlefield under its control. Beginner upkeep, you may exile this enchantment if you do return to the battlefield under its owner's control. So you can change up who you're cursing with it pretty easily.
Yes.
I like that a lot. And you trigger your Constellation stuff every turn with it.
Exactly.
Then you have...
Go ahead. Mirror Maze. 3 copy enchantment spells, because why not? It's just one blue. When it enters the battlefield, copy any artifact or enchantment on the battlefield.
Yep. I like that one. I'm shocked you don't have Mirage Mirror in here, too. I guess Mirage Mirror doesn't become attached, right?
It's more complicated.
Yeah, I love Mirage Mirror and everything, though. And then, obviously, Paradox Haze. Any deck that is looking for an upkeep trigger runs Paradox Haze. It's two and a blue. That's why it's $10 now, by the way. It's two and a blue enchant player. The game enchant player's first upkeep each turn. That player gets an additional upkeep step after this step.
Yeah.
So, again, move two curses around, draw four cards in your upkeep. That's solid.
Yeah, it could be, it's very risk-reward again, because obviously the curses attached to us may trigger again.
Some of them have pretty good triggers, though.
Some of them don't.
For you. Yeah, some of them don't.
But generally we can see what we've got coming up, and we can sort it out.
I really like the name of your next segment here, so let's do Kind of a Curse first.
Kind of a Curse, yeah. So we'll start with Captive Audience, because it's kind of a curse. 5 black-red for an enchantment. As it enters the battlefield under the control of an opponent of your choice, again, doesn't target. At the beginning of your upkeep, choose one that hasn't been chosen. Your life total becomes 4. Discard your hand. Each opponent creates 5/2/2 black zombie creature tokens.
That is kind of a curse, yeah. That's rough.
It's kind of a curse.
You have Fevered Visions next. 1/1 blue, 1 red. Beginning of each player's end step, that player draws a card. If they have 4 more cards in hand, Fevered Vision deals 2 damage to him or her. I really do like that card. It's good draw. You get a draw at your end step. Everyone else gets just hurt on damage.
Yeah. So, kind of a curse.
I like it. you have Propaganda, yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of a curse because everyone curses you when you play it.
Yeah, each turn, each creature cannot attack you unless its controller pays an additional 2 colorless for that creature. Propaganda can really save you.
Yeah, we don't have much in the way of blockers, and what we do have, we want to keep hold of, so trying to slow down the onslaught is good.
Yeah, this is the next one I'll let you take as well, too. Very similar in flavor.
Yeah, Revenge of Ravens, 3 and a black for an enchantment. Whenever a creature attacks you or a planeswalker you control, that creature's controller loses 1 life and I gain 1 life. So if someone's going to try and attack us with a load of 1/1s, does nothing to us, but it punishes them.
I definitely like that one. You also have Rite of the Raging Storm, 3 double red. Creatures named Lightning Rager can attack you or a planeswalker you control. At the beginning of each player's upkeep, that player creates a 5/1 red elemental creature token with named Lightning Rager. It has Trample, Haste, and at the beginning of the end step, sack it.
Yeah.
I like that one.
See if they can swing at each other a little bit or just let them go to waste. But either way, see what happens.
Oh, every time I'm reading this list one by one, this is hilarious. You take this one too.
Tainted Remedy, 2 and a black. An enchantment. If an opponent would gain life, that player loses that much life instead.
That's a rough one. I love that card.
That's a curse in itself.
I play so much life gain. So hurtful.
I don't want you to gain life. I'm killing you with curses.
You have Underworld Dreams as well, which is kind of a curse. Whenever an opponent draws a card, 1 damage to that player.
There's a lot of card drawing, Commander. I want to make him suffer for doing it.
Yeah, I always say that I like think commanders that have draw built into them are the best, so this hurts a lot of them.
Yeah, and the next 4 are very good at saving our ass. So the first one is Vow of Flight, 2 and a blue for an enchantment aura, enchant creature. Enchant creature gets +2/+2 and has flying and can't attack us or a planeswalker we control.
Solid one.
Even if it's just us and our opponent and the other 2 die, they still can't attack us.
Yeah. The vows are very good for that. You also have Vow of Lightning. 2 and a red enchanted creature gets 2/2 first strike and can't attack you or a planeswalker you control.
Yep. Vow of Malice, +2/+2 and has Intimidate and can't attack us. So it can't be blocked except by artifact or a creature that shares a color with it.
Is that one 2/2 and Intimidate, and then the last one, Vow of Torment, is 2 and a black. Same thing, enchant creature, gets 2/2, has menace, can't attack you or a planeswalker you control. Very, very low cost to save you from a huge creature or someone's like Eldrazi or something.
Yeah, it just makes it so much easier for us to stay away from the attacking limelight, should I say.
Yep. I like that. You've got a lot of very good defense in the deck. Like, just overall, you have a lot of interesting, like, this is a good group slug deck for sure.
Yeah. It's designed to take on a few aggro decks as well, so hence the board wipe tribal.
Well, you can also, like, use your copy enchantment kind of stuff to save yourself with more of the vows. You can Estrid's Invocation.
Propaganda.
Yeah, exactly. If you have a Mirror Maid, Estrid's Invocation, and copy enchantment on a Revenge of Ravens, 4 life every time you attack is rough per creature.
Yeah.
Like, you die pretty quickly to trying to swing into that, so you kind of have a pillow fort without the normal pillow fort colors.
Yeah. I just want to stay alive, because the curses are going to take a while for them to kill people. I want it to be slow.
Yeah. Well, let's get into some of your curses and stuff. Like, we're going quick through this one, but that's okay, because I like this deck. So, yeah, we've got... You take your curse section away.
Okay, so we'll start with the first one. Cruel Reality. 5BB for an aura curse. Enchant player. At the beginning of Enchanted Player's upkeep, that player sacrifices a creature or planeswalker. If they can't, they lose 5 life.
Yeah.
That one is harsh.
That one is rough. And I love what's actually going on in the background of the picture of it. I love all of that Amonkhet lore. So good.
As Gideon watched his inmate murder his crop mate, his admiration of the city of Nakiman gave way to horror.
Yeah, because that's a lot of crazy stuff was going on Amonkhet.
I don't know much about Amonkhet, I'll be honest.
I need to do the lore. John, you listen to these episodes and you do the lore with me. Let's do it. We have Curse of Death's Hold, 3 and a 2BB. Enchant player, creatures enchanted player controls gets -1/-1. That's a pretty rough one for a lot of decks.
Yeah, a lot of token-based decks, little weenie decks, this can kill a lot of creatures.
This is rough flavor text. May you and all your kin waste and wither until your clan is no more. Sheesh. That's a rough one.
Then we have one of the classics, Curse of Disturbance. 2BB enchant player. Whenever enchanted player is attacked, create a 2/2 black zombie creature token. Each opponent attacking that player does the same.
That's a good one.
Yep. Classic.
Do you have any of the new curses from, like, the Wilhelt deck in here?
There are some new ones in here as well.
Okay. So good. You have Curse of Fool's Wisdom. 4BB. For an aura curse, enchant player, whenever enchanted player draws a card, they lose 2 life and you gain a life, and it has madness for 4. I like that.
Yep, I'm going to make the card draw deck suffer.
Oh, the next one's a really entertaining one. You take this one.
Curse of Misfortunes, 4BB for an aura curse, enchant player. At the beginning of your upkeep, you may search your library for a curse card that doesn't have the same name as a curse attached to enchanted player. Put it into the battlefield, attached to that player, then shuffle your library.
It's a great card for Commander because we are not doubling up.
No, and we can just dig out all of our best curses on that player.
Well, yeah, anything high cost or anything, like, you kind of get a lot of toolbox with it. If I was getting any curse, this is the one that I would want.
Yeah, and with the witch when it dies, I can go get this.
Well, and the other thing, too, is that you're able to put this onto yourself because you can move your curses.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you can also stack your triggers. So you can, like, do the, I will do all my curses, then I will do Lin's move curses effect after.
Yeah.
Love it. Absolutely love that card, because, yeah, you'd be able to keep going and getting good curses as well. I love it. Curse of Misfortunes is so, so good. Then you have Curse of Obsession. 4 and a red, enchant player. At the beginning of enchanted player's draw step, that player draws 2 additional cards. Beginning of their end step, they discard their hand. So again, for you, good risk reward. You're able to, if you can get rid of this one, that's not so bad. But if you can't get rid of it in time, it's going to hurt you deeply.
Yeah. So in our draw step, we'll draw the cards and then hopefully we can use Curse of Claw of Gix and sack it so we don't discard our hand.
Yeah, I like that. You have Curse of Opulence as well, which is such a fun one.
Another original.
Yeah, this is the unluckiest planeswalker, right?
That is him, yes.
I'll let you take this one here.
So it's a single red enchant player. Whenever enchanted player is attacked, create a colorless artifact token named gold, and you can sacrifice a gold to add one mana of any color. Each opponent attacking that player does the same.
It's a great card.
Again, more incentive for them to attack the other player, not us.
The next one hurts Storm decks very, very hard. This is actually a really, really cool card. It's Curse of Shaken Faith, and I actually think that it's got a decent use in like competitive stuff. If you are playing against someone and can get it out like on a turn one, you can really hurt someone if they're like going off with like a, I'll do Lotus Petal, Mana Crypt, blah, 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 blah. Like, they can really lose a lot of life. Storm decks are going to hate this one. Curse of Shaken Faith, back to it. One in a red for an enchantment or a curse enchant player. Whenever enchanted player casts a spell other than the first one they cast each turn or copies a spell, Curse of Shaken Faith deals 2 damage to them.
Yeah, and it also counts the copies, which is so good.
Right?
We have another new one.
Yeah, Curse of Surveillance, you take this one.
Aura and a blue, in Aura Curse, enchant player. At the beginning of enchanted player's upkeep, any number of target players other than that player, each draw a card equal to the number of curses attached to that player.
Which is solid for you. You can make some friends with it, but you can also hurt people with your draw things, like your Underworld Dreams, kind of. Like, you can really, really do a lot of damage to people.
Yeah, or the other curse that drains for 2 every single time.
Yep, and you gain 2. I like that.
Yep.
For every eye gouged out, 2 blinked open.
It's creepy.
Yeah, there's a lot of these are weird ones. You have Curse of Thirst, 4 and a black. Beginning enchanted player's upkeep, it deals damage to that player equal to the number of curses attached to them.
I'm hoping to have a few.
May you drink until you drown, but never be sated. These are rough. You're not making friends with these flavor texts.
Nope. Then we have another new one, Curse of Unbinding. 6 and a blue, enchant player, or a curse. At the beginning of enchanted player's upkeep, that player reveals cards from the top of their library until they reveal a creature card. Put that card onto the battlefield under your control. That player puts the rest of the reveal cards into their graveyard.
So that's one of the ones that you don't care if it hits you.
No, because I can get one of my decent creatures, or I can put it on the big green player and get one of their big beaters.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing. You can take... People play big scary things all the time. Getting an important card, or even someone's big, like, Avacyn or something that was coming up.
Yep.
I like that one. Beginning of that player's upkeep, yeah. You have Curse of Vengeance. It's 1 black for an enchant player. Whenever enchanted player casts a spell, put a spike counter on them. Whenever they lose the game, you gain X life, draw X cards, where X is the number of spike counters on Curse of Vengeance.
This is one that I might not put on an opponent straight away. I might keep this on myself, build it up, and then give it away later to someone that's going to lose.
Yeah, choose where you want to send it.
Yeah. It's a very long win. It's a long game plan, this one.
You have Curse of Verbosity. 2 and a blue for an aura curse. Whenever enchanted player is attacked, draw a card. Each opponent attacking that player does the same. So again, a great card.
Yep.
A lot of these curses are hilarious.
The next one is Incidental, really powerful. Fraying Sanity, 2 and a blue, enchantment, aura curse. At the beginning of each end step, enchanted player puts the top X cards of his or her library into the graveyard, where X is the number of cards put into that graveyard from anywhere this turn. So if we had the Curse of Unbinding reveal 7 cards to hit that creature, they go in the graveyard, Fraying Sanity mills them for another 7.
Oh, I didn't even realize that curse puts them all into the graveyard. That's mean.
Yep.
almost like it's cursing them.
Almost like it's a curse.
That one's rough. That makes it so much worse for the opponent. That's funny.
Yeah, if anyone's playing self-mill, dredge, Grix puts the cards into the graveyard to make insects. Fraying Sanity will put more in for them.
The next one's an interesting one, too. Maddening Hex. I've been seeing it more and more with people playing, like, the Vrondas. I'm pretty sure that's the deck it's from. It's 1 double red enchant player. Whenever enchanted player casts a non-creature spell, roll a d6. Maddening Hex deals damage to that player equal to the result. Then attach it to another one of your opponents chosen at random.
Yeah, so it just flits around the board, except us.
Yeah, it doesn't hit you. A lot of these don't end up hurting you. Torment of Scarabs. Aura curse enchant player. At the beginning of enchanted player's upkeep, that player loses 3 life unless they sack a non-land permanent or discards a card. Like a carpet unrolling for their god, the scarabs poured out from the necropolis. Floor was so good.
Just another one. Just slowly grinds them down each turn. And then final curse is Trespasser's Curse. 1 and a black for an aura curse, enchant player. Whenever a creature enters the battlefield under enchanted player's control, that player loses a life and you gain a life.
You know that hurts me.
I know it does. Any token deck, you want to attach that to that player.
Yeah, I think that this is just a fun deck overall. Like, you have a lot of really, really good cards that just really salt the table, but in good ways. You're not quite at the land destruction, but you can make friends with this. This seems like a very fun deck to politics around. Like, hey, who needs some card drawn? Everyone's like, me. And it's like, all right, well, we're attacking John now. Or, you know what I mean? Like, it's who needs some gold? All you have to do is attack Brian to get it.
Yeah. It's very... there's a point in the game, though, when everyone sees what you're doing and turns on you. But you just got to try and dangle a golden carrot in front of someone else and hope that they swing at that person.
Yeah, you just have to be charming. Try be charming enough to make them realize that you aren't the bad guy.
Yeah, it's a group hug deck, I swear.
Exactly.
But then we are running so many board wipes and removal that if we do have to push a panic button, we can.
I like that. I think that overall this deck looks just like a really, really fun deck to play. This episode went a little quickly, but I think it's really fun. It's a straightforward, fun way to play. There's a lot of utility, and I think it's going to play a lot of decks. It doesn't matter how an opponent has built. They just play how they play, right? Like, elves do elf things. But like this, the curses, the threat assessment for those curses and where you put them, that's going to change game to game based on like the available information that you have of like, okay, well, like Daniel is a token deck player. So like, it's important to get the Trespasser's Curse out as quickly as possible. Or, oh, well, like someone's playing Pure and Toothy. They're obviously in like a draw and counter deck. I really, really need to get to like this Kolrath Knight and also to like anything that's draining on draw. Like, you've got a lot of really, really cool utility options that are going to change targets based on like the archetype you're playing with and trying to navigate around. Oh, well, like I don't want to upset that player too much so they turn on me is good. Yeah. And people don't run enough enchantment removal. I say that consistently. Your whole deck is enchantments. Like, you have so many enchantments in this deck.
Yeah, there's a lot. There is...
Let me see.
Oh, wow.
35 enchantments.
Yeah. It is just an enchantment deck. It's basically Enchantress without the draw cards.
Yeah, 7 artifacts, 7 sorcery, 15 creature, 5 instant, 35 enchantment.
Yeah. There was a card I wasn't sure about putting in the deck, so it didn't make it. But I want to mention this card. I wanted to put Obliterate in my deck. 6 red for a sorcery that can't be countered.
Destroy
all artifacts, creatures, and lands. They can't be regenerated. Yeah. My enchantments will be fine.
Yeah, they leave all of your enchantments free to be. That one's rough.
That one, I was like, how much of a risk reward is that, and how much will that upset the playgroup? So I might try it once and then probably never again.
The other thing that I would put in here, I'd put in the Semblance Anvil. Exile one of my...
Semblance Anvil.
Yeah, it lets you imprint a card under it, and cards that share a type with the imprinted card are 2 less.
Cool. Okay. With the amount of enchantments. Yeah,
that or a Cloud Key, and just really get those coming out faster.
That's fair. Cloud Key could be a good shout there.
But I'm a degenerate. I'd want to pump out like 5 of them at a time.
Yeah, no, I'm happy doing 1 or 2 because I don't want to piss off the table too much.
I'm the opposite. I would fill it with like things like Inevitable Betrayal, Bribery. I'd really get people's creatures going. I'd get some control magic in there. I'd be like, we're all playing this curse deck together.
Yeah, this is why me and you play differently.
Yeah, this is probably why your friends want to play with you.
There is that too. As I say, I've actually constructed this in paper, and my Lind turned up today. So I'm actually going to be playing this on Tuesday, so I can actually see how this runs.
Well, I'm very excited to see how it runs. Like, from the deck list, I wanted to build a Lind, like, full disclosure, I wanted to build a Lind deck myself as soon as I saw it. I was like, oh, this is, like, really cool. But you said that you were going to brew it and that you wanted to brew it yourself, not even brew it on the show. You wanted to brew it yourself. And I was like, okay, well, Lotus makes really, really interesting decks overall. I'm just going to wait to see what she does. And I'm probably going to build a 90-ish% similar deck list of this. Like I said, I would trade a few other things up, a little saltier play style, but like the core of this deck is exactly like what I had like imagined for a really fun Lind deck, where you have just the ability to go ham against many people. I love that the curses actually have a home now, right? I wish it was five color. It just would have opened up a few other options, but these are the best colors it could have been. Lind having Death Touch, a 2/4. I'm already happy with that. I'm actually kind of unhappy they didn't just make this a commander precon and like give us some new curses. Like, this would have been a really, really fun archetype.
I was really disappointed when I heard that these were in set boosters or collector boosters only and not in the pre-constructed decks. And I kind of don't like how they did that.
I absolutely do not like how they did that. They put a whole segment of cards that aren't in commander decks for commander players into a not commander product. So like,
to get us to buy it.
Yeah, well, and if you're not a commander player, like, some of them are good, right? But no one in a constructed format is going to be playing, like, well, other constructed format is going to be playing, like, a Lind deck. Like, this was made for Commander very, very clearly.
Yeah, it's not even standard legal.
Oh, I didn't even know that. Yeah, so it's not even like you could play it into something else.
No. No, it is purely a Commander card that is in the standard product.
Yeah, I really don't like... It's kind of like with the unsets where they are shoving, like, the Shocklands in. I don't like that I have to buy a different product to try and get something like that. Like I said, had they just made like, oh, we're actually going to do three precons for this set, and like, I think people would have been excited, bought a curse-based one. I think they missed a really big opportunity to make like a bunch of very specific to Lind curses. I hope one day they do revisit it as like an actual full precon and not just like a weird commander card that didn't get a commander deck.
Yeah, I mean, can you imagine if this was your commander and they built a deck around it and the curses were worded differently? So if it's attached to us, it's a positive. It's attached to an opponent, it's a negative.
Well, and see, that's exactly it, right? Like, Lind has such an awesome design space that was available, and I personally think they botched how they released this commander. Like, this could have been a really, really fun precon. As soon as I saw this one, I was just like, I was really hoping that they were making a deck out of it, because I was like, oh, like a curses precon would be awesome. It gives us all something to build on, some new curses, and I thought the curses were good. And they're like, all right, well, you get a curse commander and like three new curses. Enjoy.
Yeah.
Like I said, it just feels weird and like it's lacking support. And it would have been like really awesome had they made like a creature curse, like they did like with like Curse of Leeches, for instance, right?
Yeah, the one that flips into a creature and then flips back to a curse during the day again.
Yeah, but it would have been really, really cool to see that as like a legendary option that you could have done as well. Like I said, I think that they really missed the ball on the design of this one. Like, it's such an awesome card with such a high ceiling for a fun deck, especially if some cards were built to support it. It almost feels like a fan-made card where they're just like, oh, like, I didn't have a curse commander, so here's my curse commander, and that's great. But like I said, it's not quite like getting a new, like commander decks come with things that support their mechanic, like the Lenore and the Wilmheld, whatever his name is. Those, I opened those decks yesterday. I hadn't, like I said last week, I hadn't really had a big amount of time to look through those deck lists and stuff. Out of the box, they're both phenomenal looking decks. They look like a great time. A ton of Zombie Anthem in the first one. The Decayed mechanic that he has is just awesome. It's a very, very cool, like, well thought out deck. And looking how they've been putting these commander decks together, like the D&D precons were amazing. I loved the Strixhaven precons and these ones as well. Like, they've been, whoever's designing the commander decks is knocking it out of the park right now. That being said, why didn't they do it with this one?
Yeah, Lind is a fantastic card. Like, I don't think they could have made this any better, like, without putting into five colors, but I think that's greedy. What they've done is beautiful. They have used very strange mechanics for a deck that never existed before, so we can now play curses. And it is a very risk-reward scheme. But I agree, it should have been a precon. Even if it was a secondary commander and it wasn't the main focus of the deck, at least we'd have something to focus on.
Yeah, I think that they missed it by not making this a precon. I would have loved to see the secondary commanders that they would have designed around something like this. Mm-hmm. And I really hope they one day correct it.
What upsets me more is that because it is only in set boosters at a very hard difficulty to get and collector boosters, not everyone's going to get the opportunity to get it.
Well, that's what I like about the commander decks, right? Exactly. Like, you can, it's so easy to get into commander right now because you can just say, like, hey, like, if this is the play style you like you think it's funny to frustrate people, well, then this deck would have been great for you. And exactly, now you have to just roulette, hope that they get it. And I've said it once, I've said it 100 times, commander players are animals. I don't trade cards in pretty much ever. Like, it's just not something I do. I very rarely even trade with, like, my friends. I don't play this as a trading card game. I play it as a hoarding cards in my house game.
Yeah, I've seen your collection.
But that's what I mean. So, like, these cards never go back into cases for me and stuff, right? Like, they just are there. And if I'm buying packs and stuff, you're not getting more access to it, right? I don't like the randomized commander-specific product shoved into the booster and stuff. And especially a lot of those cards were really, really good, like Vision of Dominance and stuff like that. Like, the put a counter on it, then double the number of counters on it with flashback, like, based on the commanders. Like, they made really, really good commander cards, and then for some reason paywalled them into, like, a random set. And I just really, I don't know, I didn't feel good about it when I found out that that's what they were doing. The set booster exclusives, I don't like. The list card spot is already great for that. You don't need to just, like, make another, like, reason to be like, okay, well, if you can't afford a set booster, too bad, you don't get these cards.
Well, even if you can afford a set booster, no guarantee you get these cards anyway.
Well, and yeah, like, I don't know. I really, that's the, my whole support of the collector boosters was then for people who wanted a premium product, you were able to get that premium product. You were able to get your shiny cards, your foils, your alt arts, and it generally made the game better for other players because the other versions were available cheaper and stuff. You might not get the artwork you liked, but if you were a budget player or you just didn't have a ton of access to a card pool, there was going to be more selection. But then they've just removed that with, like, exclusives to those players who were already getting, like, the premium alternate arts. I don't know, like, at a certain point, like, just let everyone have the cards, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it took me a while to try and get one of these on the single market. They were being bought up left, right, and center. I was lucky enough to find one, but you shouldn't have to.
Yeah,
you should be able to just go out and get one.
I would have sent you one. I pulled amazing out of my boxes.
Yeah, well, yeah. I can only afford a fat pack. Sorry, bundle box. And I didn't get one. So I'm a perfect example of people that don't have the money. They buy a bundle which now comes with 8 set boosters, which I think is fantastic. You don't get the 10, you get the 8, but you get multiple chances at rares. I mean, I pulled 13 rares and mythics and great list cards.
Yeah, you said you got like a Saffron Medallion as well.
Saffron Medallion and a Platinum Angel. But I didn't get a Lind, and I really wanted Lind.
The last few sets I've pulled amazing, and I don't know what's going on with that, because historically, like, I've played Magic for so long, and I've pulled, like, garbage since the start. I never pull good cards. I buy cards that I want, but I never pull good cards. And these last few packs, like, from Strixhaven onwards, basically since they introduced set boosters, I've pulled like really, really well. Like the D&D set was like meh, but I thought the D&D set was meh overall, right? So I can't really complain about that. But like all of the recent ones, like I pulled a ton of Teferis. Like I think I pulled 3 different Teferis out of 2 boxes. I got 2 Linds. Like I pulled great cards. I'm very lucky in that regard. But like you said, if you're not, and you're also not from Canada and America, which is where the majority of those cards are opened. For us, yeah. Like our market is like huge. You guys have cheaper cards, but the access that you actually have to them is so much smaller.
Yeah, that is something I have noticed. Our market is ridiculously cheaper than what you pay for cards.
Yeah, but it's just because you guys can't get them.
But we can't find them as easy.
Yeah, but yeah.
It's a weird market.
I can rant all day about like their weird decisions with Lind. That's the deck. I really do hope that you guys liked it. Like I think it's a super entertaining deck. I can't wait to see Lotus play it, and hopefully we get to do a stream soon. It's kind of hard to attach curses on stream, but people can get it. They understand.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a way I can do it.
Yeah. Thank you guys so much for listening. Is there things you would have put in? I would add some more of the mana reduction so I could just really pump those out. Let us know, and yeah, the deck list will be in the description as always, so thank you so much for listening. Lotus, do you want to let them know where they can find our stuff?
Of course. So if you want to go for more of our content, go to intothe99.com. It's your one-stop shop for everything Commander. There's the links to our YouTube channel, our Discord, so you can come and chat to us and brew with us live, basically. You've got Brewing It Live going out to Segway every Saturday at 9 p.m. GMT plus one. Also visit our merch store or visit our Patreon.
Thank you guys so much for listening, and as always, have a great day.
Take care, everybody, and don't let the curses get you.